This person asked, I would love to hear from the two watchmen their perspective on what this verse in Luke means. So Luke 21 verse 36 says, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man.
All right, Luke 21 is the mirror image of Matthew 24.
That's it.
So it's about the signs of the times. Now, we can have a long discussion on this issue. I'm very happy that the questioner refers to us as two watchmen. Watchmen, what of the night?
Yes.
All right.
And that is exactly what, like we've mentioned in the previous episode, that's what we want to be. Okay. Watchmen on the wall.
So what can we glean from this verse? This verse is actually very significant. It starts with, watch ye therefore. Is it a request or is it a command?
Yes, command.
It is a command. Now, watching, will it save you?
No.
Can it put you in the right frame of mind?
Yes.
Ah.
And then there has to come an action.
All right, so people can become addicted to watching for signs, and there will be many that will label such people conspiracy theorists, mm-hmm. right? But it is a condition that the Lord sets. Watch. Now, when you just stick with this word watch, what must you watch for?
Well, obviously, that part will also be said in the word.
Okay, so you must watch for those signs which the Lord has given as to the closeness of his coming. Now, can that influence your relationship with God?
Yes, for sure.
Can it move someone who is totally agnostic to becoming a believer again?
Definitely, because you can see how that was predicted comes true.
All right, so watching is not a request, it's a command, but it's coupled to something. Pray always.
Mm.
So the watching is coupled to prayer. Now, prayer is a personal communication between you and God.
Mm-hmm.
So if you pray to someone, does that mean you have a relationship?
Yes. That's talking to him.
All right. So watching and prayer, when they are linked together, it means that you have a relationship, but the relationship has actually progressed to the point of trust.
Mm-hmm.
Faith.
Exactly.
So when you see the signs, your faith is actually strengthened.
Mm-hmm.
Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. So watching, linked to prayer, means that you have a living relationship with Christ. Then you follow with the rest, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass.
Mm-hmm. That can also be misinterpreted, this part.
All right, so people say, okay, if you're watching, then you will be counted worthy. No, no, no. If you have this relationship, and it grows, and your faith grows, and your trust grows. And in the end, when you watch the signs, you must also realize your hopeless position.
Exactly.
And the more the signs are being fulfilled, the more you must be pushed in the direction of Christ. And if you are covered by the righteousness of Christ, then you will be accounted worthy to escape all the things that come to pass. Because only those that have the white robe of righteousness will be counted worthy. You must look at the parallel texts. Without the robe, buy from me gold refined in the fire. And a robe, you need a robe that is washed in the blood of the Lamb. So you need the righteousness of Christ. And then you'll be able to stand before the Son of Man. What happens to those that are not clothed with the righteousness of Christ?
they will not be able to stand.
They will be destroyed by the brightness of his coming, right?
So the other thing also that I can see, maybe there can be some confusion in this, is that worthy to escape all things. People might perceive that they will not have to go through anything in the end.
No, because we have to enter heaven through much tribulation. And if we look at type and anti-type, the Hebrews were very much in the world when the plagues fell. Mm-hmm. That was the type. So the anti-type, the anti-typical Israel, will also be in the world when the plagues fall. Yeah. So we will be here in the time of trouble. But whether we stand or fail, it depends on our relationship with Christ and depends on whether we have appropriated the righteousness of Christ.
That's it. You will not be part of the annihilation of the world.
Yes, but it will often seem as though you will be engulfed by it. But the Lord will have a people that will be translated. Elijah is the guarantor of that, because he was translated without seeing death, and he's the representative of those that will be translated at the end without seeing death. So, Martin, watching the signs of the times is often criticized in the world today. Mm-hmm. It's called fear-mongering, but it is a condition, and you have to be a watchman. Now, what do we do when we record WhatsApp profs and we look at the signs of the times? We are watching.
That's it.
We are watching to see if the things predicted in the Bible are coming to fruition.
We're putting it all into perspective.
All right. Now, what about those that criticize it? There's a verse in the Bible, Matthew 24, verse 48. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, the Lord delayeth his coming, and he shall begin to smite his fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in that day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. Jesus said through his representatives that we are not in darkness, that that day should overtake us. Right? Mm-hmm. We should know. Now, how can we know? If we watch.
We watch, exactly.
So you're linking it, right? Now, this evil servant is a servant.
Mm-hmm. So he's falling under the people that's actually watching.
All right, he's God's servant. He is in the church.
Yeah.
But he's an evil servant. And he is saying, my Lord delayeth his coming. Why would he say that? Because he's not watching the signs.
And
if you watch the signs, you will say, well, the coming of the Lord is coming closer. So the evil servant is one that does not watch for the signs and is constantly criticizing those that watch for the signs and writing their little articles in their little magazines, criticizing those that watch for the signs of the times. Do we have them in the church?
Yes. And they will also probably not ready for this.
All right. So should we become discouraged because they are in the church?
No.
Even if they are in leadership position? No, because we have our marching orders. Watch.
Watch.
Those are higher marching orders than those that say stop watching.
Exactly. It's nicely put.
Okay. So what are these servants that do not watch and that say that this is fear-mongering, what will they start doing eventually if you keep on watching?
Smite you.
They will start smiting their fellow servants. Why would they smite them, Martin?
Because they don't want to hear this message.
Why don't they want to hear it? Because they are eating and drinking with the drunken.
That's it.
Now, who are the drunken, Martin?
Those that are drunk with the wine of Babylon.
Ah, so they are sitting in ecumenical councils and are beginning to see things in the same light as those that are drunk with the wine of Babylon. And they probably think that keeping Sunday for the sake of climate change is a pretty good idea because the planet is in dire straits in terms of climate change.
That's exactly.
They've never heard of HAARP. They've never heard of chemtrails. They've never heard of any of these things. These are all conspiracy theories. So they start thinking like the world because they are sitting at the same table with those that have drunken from the wine of Babylon. And therefore, because keeping the Sunday will save a little bit of gasoline and end some pollution seems a pretty logical thing to do. So how can you possibly even think that that is a religious law? It's a purely secular law. It's fine to do it.
That's
I think they're not watching.
No.
They're not watching.
And all the signs that we show of this happening is merely conspiracy.
Conspiracy. All right, so what will the Lord do with that servant? So the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him. Mm-hmm. Why does he not look for him?
He wasn't watching.
He's been going round and round. He's not watching. He's sitting at the table drinking with those that are drunk with the wine of Babylon.
And who is actually saying that the Lord is delaying his coming, so he's agreeing with them.
I mean, Catholicism doesn't believe in a millennium post this earthly existence. They believe in amillennialism, when the church will rule for 1,000 years. Well, good luck for them.
But even the other Christian denominations have the same
view. They have kingdom theology. So if you have kingdom theology, why would you wait for the coming of Christ? And the other interesting thing is, the other denominations, they believe in the rapture. Mm-hmm. And the rest will still be down here. But that's not biblical either. So if you are drunk with this wine, why would you be watching for the coming of the Lord? You would be saying, you know, the Lord delays his coming. He's not coming for another 100 years, 200 years, 1,000 years, 2,000 years. We have lots of time. Martin, would you be anxious and praying earnestly to be counted worthy to stand before the Son of Man if you have no concept of his soon coming?
I can't see that you will.
All right. Now, why would you want to call yourself an Adventist? What does Advent mean?
Second coming, or the coming of the Lord.
All right, that's the great hope, right?
Yeah.
Why would you want to delay it? Doesn't make any sense.
No.
I don't think they should call themselves Adventists.
No.
I don't know what we should call them. They must think of another name, but that one certainly doesn't fit. So the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, because he's not watching. In an hour that he's not aware of because he wasn't watching.
Yeah. The sad state is that there's a lot. If we take just the 10 virgins, the sleeping virgins.
Yes.
We've got a parallel there as well with this.
Can you be a happy-go-lucky general member in the church, not worrying about the coming of the Lord and carrying on? Yes, you can. Mm-hmm. Can you be a theologian in that same category? Yes, we have them all. But the bottom line is, watch. So let's take a quote from the Spirit of Prophecy, Counsels for the Church. The danger of thinking Christ's coming is delayed. That evil servant who says in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, professed to be waiting for Christ. He was a servant, outwardly devoted to the service of God, while at heart he had yielded to Satan.
True.
That's pretty strong language.
But it comes back to what the Bible says. If you're not for God, you're against him. That is the way. There's no sitting on the fence.
No. And Jesus said, watch. And these people say, you're watching in the wrong place. We're not worried about this. He does not, like the scoffer, openly deny the truth, but reveals in his life the sentiment of the heart that the Lord's coming is delayed. Presumption renders him careless of eternal interests. He accepts the world's maxims and conforms to its customs and practices. Now, Martin, I don't want to say too much. But have we experienced, even within our own ranks, a conformity to customs and practices of the world? Not only in terms of worship style, but also in terms of specific legislations that have been introduced in the world of late. Has there been coercion in particular directions? Why? Because you have accepted the world's maxims and conformed to its customs and practices. If you take any issue, climate change, are there within our ranks people that are on that bandwagon and want to save the world from this calamity?
Yes.
Are we approaching the time of the second coming?
Oh, for sure. And this,
are we going to save the planet for another million years because we are going to stop exuding carbon dioxide and asphyxiate ourselves?
No. Anything that God created, the natural, is now taboo.
All right. So once you start thinking like the world, then you will accept the world's maxims. And then you will conform to its customs and practices. But if you are watching for the signs of the times, if you have read that Satan messes with the climate, have we read those statements in the past?
Many times.
That he controls the elements of nature and brings about the storms that sweep away the harvests and the houses. We shout climate change. The world shouts climate change. And the wicked servant shouts climate change. When in actual fact, it's the outworking of darker elements. In the time of Job, was it climate change that swept away the houses of his children and the harvests?
No, definitely not. And that's a problem because you shift, like you say, your whole outlook on what's actually the truth. Because the watchman sits on the wall and the evil servant sits on the fence.
That's right. He sits on the fence and wants to be able to play his game however the chips might fall. Dangerous thing, because once you want to stand for something, like the needle to the pole, that's no time to sit on the fence. The Bible calls that lukewarm. Exactly. And lukewarm will be spat out.
That brings me to another thing that just popped up in my mind. That there were even people that said, you said that we should stay in the Laodicean state, our church.
That's very interesting.
Can you just perhaps clear up and make that also clear again?
The church is in a Laodicean state. If you remain in that state, you will be lost.
That's it.
Now, will the whole church climb out of the Laodicean state?
Unfortunately not.
No. But I am in the world, but not of the world. I am in the church, but I do not have to be of the Laodicean state to be in the church.
Yes.
It might be a general trend within the church, but if I remain in that state, I will be lost.
Thank you.
So, why would you want to conform to these practices? Selfishness, worldly pride, ambitions predominate. You don't want to appear different. But we are supposed to be a peculiar people. We are supposed to be a people that are watched not only by the world, but even by the angelic host.
We are a spectacle or a showcase to the universe.
Correct. Fearing that his brethren might stand higher than himself, he begins to disparage their efforts and impugn their motives. So let's say you are a prominent liberal within the church, maybe even in leadership, and these watchmen are saying the opposite to what you are saying, and your position and your ambition in your position moves you, motivates you to elevate your position over that of the watchman, then the only thing that is available to you is ridicule, because you have to get rid of what the watchman says in order to look prominent yourself.
No, can't work.
So must that put you off from being a watchman?
No. That must establish you.
No, it is one of the signs of the times.
Yeah.
Because the church is going to go in that direction. So if it doesn't go in that direction, then the Bible is wrong. Then the church is not lukewarm but hot. But it's not. It's lukewarm.
Yeah. So when you're a watchman on the wall, expect this to happen.
So what does he start doing, this wicked servant? He starts smiting his fellow servants. He starts writing his little articles in his little papers and smites his fellow servant.
Or they do their videos on YouTube.
They do that too, yes. As he alienates himself from the people of God, he unites more and more with the ungodly. There are people that actually see it in the papal light. And when the papal system makes a move that appears right to them, they swallow the other morsels as well. He is found eating and drinking with the drunkard, joining with the worldlings and partaking of their spirit. Thus he is lulled into a carnal security and overcomes by forgetfulness, indifference, and sloth. So, Martin, if you are not a watchman, if you are not watching, you are a wicked servant. You will say the Lord delays his coming. You will be forgetful of what is being taught. Mm. You will become indifferent, and you will become slothful.
Mm. And the slothful will also be that, is that your evangelizing?
Yes.
It will be set aside.
There's lots of time. Yeah. There's no need for urgency here. In fact, you've become a servant of Satan, and you do not know it. It's like the church in the time of Jesus. They had become servants of Satan. They were so rigid in keeping the law that they were willing to murder in order to keep it, which was breaking the law.
Yeah.
Not only in the case of Jesus, but in all the martyrs. Whether we're talking about Stephen, whether we're talking about Paul, they contrived a plot not to eat or drink until they had killed him. Mm. Mm. And they called that righteousness.
That is sad. But unfortunately, that also applies to the end with us.
Correct. They will think that they're doing God's service by getting rid of those that have been the watchmen.